The Legally Brief podcast is produced by the law offices of Judy Saunders. Legally Brief is a biweekly show that offers opinions and conversations with experts on why abuse exists, what the law is doing about it, and ways survivors can reclaim their lives. If you stop right this second to rate and review this show on iTunes or your listening platform, you will do your part in spreading Legally Brief's mission of creating a world where children can play, gather, and learn free of abuse from authority figures and institutions. And now your host, Judy Saunders.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Legally Brief podcast. I'm your host, Judy Saunders. October, a month of fear, widely accepted by many as dedicated to all things scary. You'll see babies and children of all ages dressed up in homemade or store-bought costumes in celebration of fright, trick, and treats. Now, for myself, growing up in a religious household with two parents that were immigrants from the island of Trinidad and Tobago, the customs of Halloween with ghostly decorations and the knocking on the doors of strangers for candy was foreign and even discouraged by my parents. When I reflect on Halloween, what comes to mind is a fear of a different type. And that is the fear that we will be talking about over the course of this month. It's the fear that survivors have from the abuse. It's the fear that they encounter and interferes with recovery, with their growth, and even with a decision of how, when, and if to hold a perpetrator accountable. For many survivors, the fear is real. That fear comes dressed in a different costume, and it may parade itself around in our homes. Fear may come up in the gyms or fields of play, clubs, or schools. These are all the places that survivors may feel, see, and live out that fear. That fear, it acts to keep survivors silent. Survivors can face the fear of retaliation, and that will dictate their behaviors and decisions. The fear keeps survivors, even in relationships with the abusive authority figure, even when the survivor wants to leave. While Halloween makes fear fun, I've seen that there are these alternative responses that we're going to talk about today. And I have titled it FAD, F-A-D, which stands for fear, anger, and disassociation. All right, you ready to talk a little bit more about FAD? Listen in.
During the podcast launch period, we have a perfect offer for our early supporters. Child USA is a pioneer in the movement to end child abuse in all forms, among competitive sports, child marriage, negligent, physical, sexual, trafficking, child exploitation. Child USA is staffed by experts, scientists, and professionals from many disciplines, all dedicated to educate, provide research, data, and resources to end abuse of children. Child USA, in their wisdom and expertise, created a curated specialized library, so you do not need to blindly research Google or other search engines for answers, help, and support. For a very limited time, when you do three things, subscribe to the Legally Brief podcast, and rate and review on iTunes, Spotify, or other platform. Legally Brief will select one listener each month to receive free access to Child USA's curated library. This is a valuable offer only offered on this podcast for a limited time. You must leave your email information so we can reach you and give you access to relevant, eye-opening guides to many of your most perplexing problems.
So happy to have a moment to have this conversation, to share and to ask some new questions and to get your feedback. A few days ago, I reconnected with a close friend from college, someone that I had lost touch with. We had some light banter, and I have to say that it was refreshing to take a break from my daily routine and take that trip down memory lane. It really awoke some memories of that space and time where I had less responsibilities and more freedom. My friend and I both attended a religious-based, historically Black college and university, where a vast majority of the students had several commonalities in background and upbringing. My friend and I were bonded around those common interests and also our big dreams for the life ahead as a young adult. We were in that time period in our lives where we were in the late teens, early years of adulthood.
college for me was both a fresh start and a continuation of, unfortunately, some uninvestigated traumas that I was not really into approaching or looking into at that time. I arrived in the new college environment with people from all over the globe, and it was exhilarating. I flourished. I was in a buzz of activity, new friends. It was just a wonderful thing to be more controlled of my day, of my schedule, what I ate, not necessarily having to eat what mom or dad made for you, more control of my social circles. It was a welcome change from what I thought to be my parents' kind of oppressive instructions and guidance. I was distracted and mostly happy. In fact, I have to say that I really ran toward the bright lights and sparkly new relationships because they allowed me to flee from unresolved troubles, and it really renewed my strength that I was ready to go. Anything that the world had coming at me, I was ready to take my fighting stance and tackle all obstacles. Well, what I now realize is that I was kind of stuck in a pattern of overcoming issues that I didn't want to confront with a cycle of either flight, fright, or freeze, using one of those or all of them maybe interchangeably, those responses. I didn't know it then, but every part of my being really needed to confront some unsettled issues from the past. But instead, I found comfort in fleeing and becoming numb with my new pre-adult life. Many listeners may be familiar with the psychological or scientific theory of fight, flight, freeze. If you're not, please look it up in a common magazine and blog post found on Psychology Today. I'll have that listed in the show notes. In short, the concept of fight, flight, freeze is a human response to stressors. For example, if you're being chased by a dog who has these jaws just thrashing and coming at you, well, what does your brain do? It ignites your senses and you take off. You fly to save yourself. Or alternatively, you could instinctively freeze if there's a threat that you perceive that you can't safely escape. This theory and the different responses include several ranges of emotions, a spectrum of emotions. When I evaluate this fight, flight, or freeze doctrine, I've seen it appear in life and in people who seek counsel from me, and I've thought of a more accurate way that it has shown up, and I've seen it, and so I call it a FAD, or fear, anger, and disassociation. You see, the conversation with my college friend didn't necessarily end on a good note. It kind of ended on a uncertain kind of cliffhanger, at least for me, because very candidly, my friend had shared that toward the end of our college and the early years of when I went to law school, it appeared from the friend's perspective that I had abruptly abandoned a lot of my college friendships, never really looking back or acknowledging the importance of those bonds. Well, my response to that friend's remark was a combination of curiosity and defensiveness. I shot back a very curt email, and then I decided, well, who cares? Do I really need to explain myself? I also wavered between, look, I don't even need to speak to that person again. And maybe other couple of not so things ran through my head. It dawned on me that maybe I was disassociating from something that had happened, either in the past or with that person in particular. Now, I didn't have the insight or the wisdom during college or the years after, but from the work that I've done through interviewing, investigating cases, working with individuals, and on my own self-improvement, I have noticed that the three FAD responses, or fear, anger, and disassociation, are common. They're common among families and children that experience sexual, physical, and or psychological trauma. So I've seen that children and the individuals that support them, be that a parent, a guardian, or someone supportive, they also will experience the fear, the first of those responses, albeit the child and the adult may experience that fear at different points in their journey to healing. Both also the child and their parent move through or sometimes even get stuck in another phase, the other phase of anger. The anger can appear in many forms. I've seen it in my practice to come in the form of maybe there's some type of self-harm, suicidal ideation. It could show up as cutting, an eating disorder, or withdrawal from life and friendships. When I've seen what I call part of the fad or disassociation, I found that people could live and get stuck in this disassociation phase, so to speak. In my observations, a child or an individual that's gone through trauma could use this as the only way to really deal with the guilt, the shame, and the sadness that they or their child has been violated. This disassociation becomes even greater, I've seen, when the violation is perpetrated by a trusted family member, a friend, a coach, a teacher, or fill in the blank, someone that's known to the survivor. Disassociation may look like diving deep into your work, if it's whomever it is, whomever the survivor is or their supporter. It's an avoidance to deal with that trauma. And it's avoidance for several reasons. We can talk about that. Disassociation also looks like getting over-involved in, say, a school activity. It's a general busyness or over-busyness. Disassociation can also look like planning exciting future events, always looking to the future for a distraction or elaborate vacations, parties, or family dinners. Now, I was brilliant at disassociating. What was common I saw for myself was to literally clear out, even throw away any physical reminders of any past pains. Sometimes I would even completely move to new cities. The seemingly insurmountable burden of having to decide how to comfort yourself if you're a survivor or an abused child, combined with how do you hold the perpetrator accountable through navigating court systems? You also have to maybe find a qualified therapist. With balancing the needs of, say, other members of the family, if you have children, that could be a partner. What if you're in a position where you're also caring for a survivor or having to address what your child has gone through, and you're in that what we call sandwich generation, where you're also caring for your older parents? You're balancing that. And why don't we throw on top of that, you need to appear normal at work, prepare meals, work out, and then guess what? Smile for social media posts. Having to do all of those tasks under that stress is the perfect recipe for completely dissociating from the trauma. One way out of this fad, as I've labeled it, fear, anger, and disassociation behavior cycle, is to implement slow living, slowing down. And there's many steps. And I am not a therapist. I am discussing what I have seen and what has worked in very particular situations that I've been involved with. So slowing down, being slow and non-reactive in responses, and meeting any perceived threats with curiosity. Again, it goes without saying that nowhere on my resume or website will there be a degree or certificate for medicine in any form or psychology. And I want you to understand, so I disclaim, that nothing that I'm saying is to be construed as science or psychiatric or medical opinion. What I do know and what I do have is decades of directly engaging and helping others work through that fear, that anger, and disassociation when it's come to me in the context of legal counseling and the law. As adults, as supporters of survivors, and as survivors yourself, you have to balance this disassociation or total engagement. You have to balance that. And you have to think about the best interest of either the trial survivor or your best interest working through that. So the question that we end with today and the one that we discuss further in our Facebook group is, how do we work through fear, anger, and disassociation? What are the next steps? What is the guidance? There are ways to take some of these things, some of these tasks, some of these heavy burdens. There are people and places to share this burden so that you can stay engaged, move through, be supportive, and react appropriately when faced with this trauma. Trusted counsel, trusted friends, finding the right fit for therapy. And there is a way to get through that huge legal system if you are considering some type of criminal or civil action against someone who has perpetrated some type of abuse against you or someone you love. Beginning on this path after you recognize the trauma and after you have made the decision that it's your time and it's right for the person you support, be it your child or whomever, that it's the right time to move forward. There is a way to do that. There is a system and a process. And although that system and process may seem cloudy, murky, and overwhelming, with the right counsel, you can make it through at the right time. If anything I've said today resonates with you, and anything that I've said today could be of help to you, please rate and review, leave a comment. I read your comments. Do not hesitate to reach out. Do not hesitate to continue the conversation on our Facebook group. We are here. We are asking new questions, and we are looking at issues of law, culture, and abuse with new voices. And your voice matters. Your voice counts. I can't wait to sit down and talk with everyone else soon. Look forward to hearing from you. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Legally Brief podcast. Remember to join Judy and fellow listeners at the Legally Brief Facebook group. Contact Judy at judy@jsaunderslawfirm.com.
All information and content in this podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. Nothing in this podcast shall constitute legal advice and shall not create an attorney-client relationship. This information is general and may not be applicable to your particular circumstances. You should review your particular circumstances with an attorney. All liability with respect to actions taken or not taken based on the contents of this podcast is hereby expressly disclaimed.